If only I had more faith. Have you ever asked for that? Have you ever thought, if only I had more faith, this wouldn't be so hard? Or I'd be able to do this or that. Or if my faith were stronger, I'd be able to go out and win people to Christ because I wouldn't be afraid. Or even if I had more faith, I wouldn't be afraid about tomorrow and about all that's happening in our world. Those all seem like pretty reasonable thoughts, don't they? I know I've had them. So it's reasonable that the disciples are asking, more faith. Please give us more faith. They don't have the advantage of seeing the big picture like we do. They've been asked to do some amazing things and give up their homes and their jobs. It would take a lot of faith to do that. And now look at what's before them. Jesus, give us a little more faith so we can do all that we need to do and we can face all that we need to face. I think we often look at this scripture and we believe that Jesus is saying that the disciples have no faith, or at least not much. If they did, they would be able to do anything. I don't really believe that Jesus is suggesting that if we really have the smallest amount of faith, we could do magic tricks. If so, there'd be a lot of people doing magic tricks. Because I know a lot of people have pretty strong faith, and I myself have not seen a mulberry tree uprooted and planted somewhere else just by willing it to happen. So I wonder if Jesus could have been saying to his disciples, you don't even recognize how strong your faith is. Or maybe Jesus was trying to get the disciples to understand and to see that the amazing presence of God is all around them, providing them with every bit of faith that they needed. It was always the next passage that bothered me. What did inviting your servants to sit at your table have to do with faith? So many times Jesus talked about asking our servants. The scripture uses the term slaves, but a translation that we would understand better would be servants. We have our own visuals about slavery, but this would be more like servants. But over and over, Jesus said, don't treat each other differently. We're all the same. There aren't owners and servants, upper class, lower class. And now Jesus is saying, wouldn't you have your servant go fix your meal instead of sitting with you at the table? Wouldn't you have them eat before the landowner? They can eat their dinner later. Would you give them special thanks for doing their job? They're doing what they're supposed to do. What does that have to do with faith? Perhaps Jesus is once again, as only Jesus can do, making us look at our faith from a different angle. Perhaps faith is not a source that we use up or we spend or we collect and save, or that we can run out of. Perhaps it's not even measurable. And even more shocking, maybe faith isn't even heroic. maybe it rarely is heroic. Maybe faith is, very simply put, doing what needs to be done. That's not exactly what we want to hear, is it? We really like the idea of that we all have this grand thing that we're supposed to do or accomplish, and we're supposed to spend our life just waiting and watching for that moment when we get to shine. When in fact, faith may just be that simple day-to-day thing that we do because they need to happen, and it's our place to make them happen. I do watch and see so many things around this world happening, and I see people who feel like they might be to blame. Because like the disciples, they feel like their faith isn't as strong as it should be. In 1738, John Wesley was burned out and somewhat just tired. And he couldn't grasp the concept of justification by faith alone. And so he told himself, "How can you preach to others if you don't have faith yourself?" And so John asked a friend who was a Moravian missionary named Peter Bowler. He said, "Peter, should I stop preaching?" And Bowler replied, "By no means should you stop." Then Wesley asked, "But what can I preach?" Bowler answered, "Preach faith till you have it. And then because you have it, you will preach faith." Preach faith till you have it. And then because you have it, you'll preach it. John took Peter's advice. And although Wesley wasn't even sure of his own salvation, he shared the gospel with those he met, including a guy on death row named Clifford. And thus began a long ministry of stepping beyond the bounds of his perceived faith to do the work of God that needed to be done. I like that idea of preaching faith till we have it. It's one of the major keys to experiencing power in our ministries even today. When we do what needs to be done, whatever that is, we begin the process of faith and even salvation. How often do you do what needs to be done and you don't even recognize what you're doing? When you write someone a note or listen to a hurting friend or show up at work, or pray for a neighbor, or cook dinner for a family. Somehow we think an act of faith requires us to be extravagant, or it should cost us something if it's going to get God's attention. If I were to ask each one of you to write down one simple thing that you did for another person this last week. Just one thing. It could be a phone call or helping to carry something for someone or opening a door. It could be one simple thing. But if each one of us did one simple thing last week, imagine what the world would have looked like if we hadn't. Sometimes we look at the world around us and we feel like there just isn't any hope. that we live in a world where faith has just gone out the window. I ask you to just stop and look around this room. Think about the way that you see faith lived out every day in the people sitting around you this morning. My friends, that's a reason to rejoice. That's hope living and breathing. This is World Communion Sunday. We join with churches all around the world who are partaking of communion. That's really pretty awesome if you think about it. People of all different walks of life, all different nationalities, people who take communion in so many different ways, but today we all do it together. If that doesn't give you hope in this world, if that doesn't make you recognize the faith alive in this world, if that doesn't make you feel a little bit stronger in your faith, I think you really must not be imagining very well. We're in this together. And sometimes I need your faith to help build mine up. And sometimes you need my faith to help build you up. I remember hearing a story, and I can't tell you who it was, but I remember it was two guys in college. One of the young men confided in the other that he was just falling apart. He said, "I am sliding into real darkness. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get up in the morning. I don't know how to do what I need to do." The friend said, "I know what to do. You go get your stuff, get your mattress, pull it into my room. You're going to stay with me for a little while, and we'll talk, and I'll help, and I'll pray with you." And the young man replied, I don't even have enough faith to pray. I can't even do that right now." And his friend replied, "That's okay, because I've got enough faith for both of us today. And right now, we'll get through this together." That's what the smallest of faith can do. The size of a mustard seed. It can reach out and it can hold someone up when they can't. It can pray for someone when they don't have the faith. We come to this table. We come to this table each and every month. There's not a magic number of times to come to the table. Some churches come every week. Some once a quarter, we gather once a month. Nothing is magical about that. It's just what churches decide. But today, we recognize that this table is so much bigger than just us. This table is spread around the world for those who wish to partake. This table is open to all who wish to receive. We make no rules. If you're open to receive, you will be served. No questions asked. Perhaps you feel like right now your faith is just not strong enough. Come, and we will be with you, and our faith will hold you up. We partake of communion by way of intinction. That means that we'll hand you a piece of bread and you will dip it in the cup and you'll receive. You'll receive communion as I encourage you to think about those around our world, those throughout our community, but those around the world whose faith today is standing strong along with yours. And that is the hope in this world. If you're serving communion, would you come forward?